just wanted to introduce a person who has been dedicated in serving this church, serving you. And one of the great pleasures that we have as pastors is to see people rise in their giftings, see people rise in their talents. And a lot of the things that you have seen in the background, this couple has sowed, and they have sacrificed, and they have given, and they had worked hard. And Valeria is just one of those people that she's always willing. She is a person of prayer. She's a person who chooses to live right. She's somebody who has decided to give her life for this church, and it's my honor, and it's our honor as a couple to see people rise to their calling. And so this is for the very first time she's going to speak and share a message here on this Sunday, and you're going to get to hear from one of our best. So would you mind welcoming Valeria Castro as she shares a message today? That's right. She is a crier, so give her some grace, okay? But we love you. Take the mic, ma'am.
Thank you. Hi, guys. Good morning. I'm so nervous, but I'm so excited to be here with you guys. Before we start, just want to take, I'm a crier, so just fair warning. Bear with me here. This is the Lord. The way the Lord designed me was to cry and feel all the feels. So if you're a crier in the room, I got you. We're here, all right? So a little bit about me. Like JD mentioned, I am honored to marry the most handsome man that has ever been created in the entire planet. And we've been married for 4 years, and we do have a fur baby, hashtag dog mom. And she runs our household, and if you've been there, I apologize for the hair that you brought home. But that's the way we choose to live our lives. That's a little bit about me. I am a lover of dinosaurs, and I do believe that indeed the Loch Ness Monster is real. So just so you guys are aware. If you don't believe, come talk to me after. We'll talk about Jesus and the Loch Ness Monster. So before I start, I just want to take a second to just honor JD and Alini. Oh man, I already feel it. Okay. My life would not be the same if it wasn't for you guys. And I thank God for the day that he brought you into my lives. I thank you and I honor you not only because you lead with passion, with commitment, but because of all the unseen sacrifices, for all the things, the unknown things that none of us might know here. Thank you. Thank you for leading. Thank you because not everyone would up and leave to believe in something that God has called them to do. Thank you. Thank you. And if we can all just stand to our feet and just give them a hand clap, because I really believe that they deserve it. All right, I'm excited to be here with you guys. My voice is a little shaky. Hopefully it'll wear down within 5 minutes or so bear with me. As I was trying to prepare for this message, I really felt that I wanted to talk about the story of Rahab. Are any of you guys familiar with the story of Rahab? Hands, no? Okay, if you're not, we're gonna read it today, so don't worry about it. So a little prefix of how we get to the story of Rahab. The story of Rahab happens after the Israelites have been freed from slavery in Egypt. So they've been roaming around 40 years in the desert. And they've been roaming around, and that generation that left bondage does not get to see the promised land that God had promised them. And so we find our story where Joshua takes over for Moses after Moses passed. And if you don't mind with me, bear with me here. It's going to be 18 long verses of a story, so pay attention, open your ears, and engage with me. And feel free to read it out loud with me. So if we go to Joshua 2, 1:18. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, 'Go view the land, especially Jericho.' And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there." What was her name? Okay. "And it was told to king of Jericho, 'Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land.' Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out the land.' But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I didn't know where they were from. And when the gates were about to close at dark, the men went out. I don't know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid down in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof, and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of God has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings, the Amorites, what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. The Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you will also deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And the man said to her, our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, he will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Are you guys following along? Too long? Naira said no. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, go into the heels of the pursuers, we'll encounter you, and hide there for 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward, you may go your way. Then the men said to her, we will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours, so that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you will let us down, and you shall gather into your house and your father and mother and your brothers and all of your father's household. Too long? Following along? Amen. All right, so that's the story of Rahab. Let's go ahead and start in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for the privilege and the honor to spend time together and just talk about your word, Lord God. I pray in this moment, Father, that it be you, Holy Spirit, speaking to us. That not a word that comes from your mouth, from your heart this morning, may go in vain, Lord. But that our spirits may be awakened, that our spirits may be hungry, and capture everything, Father, that you're trying to tell us this morning. We thank you, Lord, because you're a good God, and you do good things. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, have you guys ever watched a movie? In this movie, you're just sitting there the entire time, and you're just like, okay, when is that next scene gonna come? That scene that puts this, like, really mediocre movie to this awesome, mind-blowing, awesome movie. Or have you ever watched a show where you're just sitting there, and you're like, okay, I have no idea what's going on. I can't even tell you if it's good or bad, because I'm just so confused. Anyone watch the ending of How I Met Your Mother? I'm not going to spoil it for you, but Game of Thrones, anyone? Too soon? Okay. So I often feel like, in so many ways, this is the way we see our relationship with God, right? Where we're sitting here and we're waiting for God to do something. Something that's going to take this really mediocre relationship that we have with him to this, wow, God, you did it. You did it, and I'm so excited, and I'm so passionate. And so we constantly live our relationship with him in the same exact way. We're sitting there, and we're waiting for God to do something, and all these questions come in. And be honest with me, it's exhausting. It's exhausting when you're trying to comprehend something, but you're not getting anywhere. And I'm here to tell you this morning that I truly, truly, truly believe this is not the way God intended our relationship with him to go. This is not the way God intended our relationship with him to go. He does not want mediocrity. He has designed our relationship with him to be so intimate that the Bible says that Jesus came, and he came to bring us life, and not just life, but life in abundance. Can you say that? Life in abundance. And so, as I was trying to prep this message, I really felt like God wanted to create a space this morning so that we're able to tap in into our relationships with God and take it to the next step. Take it to the step where it's organic, where you wake up and you're like, yeah, God, you did it again, you know? Where you wake up and you're constantly expecting and not expecting and waiting, but you're expecting the good. Because this is the way God designed our relationship. And so I want to share this morning with you, and I've titled it, Call to Action. Everyone say it with me. Can you say it more excited? Call to Action. Okay. So going back to the story. Thank you. Going back to the story of Rahab. It's really interesting to me that, you guys have to understand this concept. Rahab was in Jericho, right? And back then, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have GPS. They didn't have share my location, you know? So her and the Israelites were two completely different people. Two completely different people. And so it's really interesting to me that Rahab is sitting in this town of Jericho where their belief system has nothing to do with the belief system of the Israelites, the chosen people. They didn't know who this God was. They didn't know who this God was. They were miles and miles apart. Matter of fact, in Jericho, most of their cultural belief system had to do with many gods. So they didn't have just one god. They had many gods that they worshipped. Many gods that they worshipped. And so it's really interesting to me that because of the stories that she heard of these people, something in her said, whoa, this is a real God. Something in her ignited because of the stories that she heard of what God did through these people. And that brings me to my first point. Your life speaks of your God. Say it with me. Your life speaks of your God. The Bible says in Romans that faith grows, right? Faith comes from hearing the word of God. And back then, they didn't have the Bible, right? So it was all these stories that they heard that's how you found people being like, wow, this is a God. This is a God. This is the one and only God. And so it's amazing to me that Rahab, because of these stories that she heard, something in her spirit said, okay, this is the one true God. And so today I want to let you know, this is why, shameless plug, connect groups are so important. Connect groups are so important because this is the time that you take to share the stories of God, where you hear what God is doing in someone else's life. And that builds your faith. That builds your faith. That helps your faith grow. And it also allows us to take a second, to take some time to talk about the word of God. And like I mentioned, faith grows by hearing of the word of God. And so I want to encourage you today. If you've been doing this for a while, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Plug into a connect group. We cannot live something out that we don't comprehend. We can't live something out that we don't comprehend, right? And so reading the word of God brings life to the spirit. Reading the word of God allows us to understand who the character of God is and our identity in him. So it is crucial. It is crucial for us to begin the shift of mediocrity to amazing relationship with God. It is crucial to understand who this God is in your life. So plug into a connect group. Read your Bible. And I know it's confusing sometimes. There's so many resources out there, guys. Google.com. The Bible app. So many resources out there. And I truly believe that the more we dig into scripture, the more we are convicted that this is the one God. This is the one true God. And the more we're able to freely and joyfully Follow God. And so when faith builds in you, right? Rahab was like, I've heard of the stories. God parted the sea for you guys. That's like unheard of. God gave you all the victories in every battle. Like, this must be a good God. This must be the one true God. And so the faith in her built so much that she had no other option but to take action, right? To take action and saying, you men are men of God. Now, I've never experienced this God, but I've heard of the stories. And so she took action by hiding them. By hiding them and deciding that she was going to risk it all because of this God that she had heard about. And so the more our faith builds, the more we plug into the word of God, the more we hear each other's stories and how God is moving in everyone's life, there is no other option but organically we must take action. We must take action. Something in you says, this is the one true God, and I cannot stay where I am because my spirit won't let me, because I've heard the stories, because I've read the word. And so my only reaction is to take action. Take action. And I want you to understand this. So I love stories, which is why I'm going back and forth from the story of Rahab to how it applies to us. Rahab at this point in time was 50 years old or so. So she had a good number of years under her belt in life. And like I mentioned, she had never heard of this God. She lived in this land where many gods were worshipped. And so after she heard these stories, something in her said, okay, if this is the one true God, what's my place here? How do I take action here? And so she chose to hide these men, risking it all. There is a point and a time in our life where we're stuck in between a defining moment, right? Where we have nothing else to do but to pivot and take action, to change the course of our life because of what we've heard, because of who he is and what we learned that he can do in our lives. And so Joshua 6:25 ties us together and says, but Rahab the prostitute and her father's house and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day. Wait, I'm sorry. I think that's the wrong one. Wrong one. James 2:25. You guys can laugh. I think your silence is making me more nervous than anything else. I need to hear some feedback here, people. Okay. So James 2:25 says, and in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and she sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. There is no way that we've heard of this God, that we've read his truth, and can stay in the same exact spot. You can live a faith-filled life and not do anything. And I love that it says that it was the works. It was the prostitute justified by works when she received the messenger. So it was the action of her deciding, I'm going to take these men, I'm going to hide them, because I know that the one true God is on their side. And I want you to get this. This is my favorite point. It excites me so much because it's not a task, right? When you decide to take this action, it's not a matter of, oh, now I've heard all these things and now I have to do this. No. When you get to know who the character of God is and you hear the stories, this organically produces a change in you where there is no other response in you than to say, I have to take action. I have to change something. I have to pivot so my life can never be the same. And so I want you to understand this because it excites me so much. Okay. Rahab, we've heard it over and over again. The Bible refers, Rahab the prostitute, like, give the girl a break, you know? Like, give her a break. Just call her the lady of the night or something. So she decided to take this action. But get this. Matthew 1, 5 through 6. This is the good old genealogies that we all love to skip over. But get this. Matthew 1, 5 through 6. It says, and Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of who? Oh. Come on, Gabe. And Jesse, the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. What does this mean? This means that Rahab was a prostitute who heard of God, who took action, and because she took action, women were not included in genealogies. There's four women that are included in the genealogy, right? So because she took action, not only did she save her mother and her father, but she made it to the genealogy, y'all. She made it to the genealogy, and not just any genealogy, the genealogy of David, the king, who's said to be the king that had a heart like God. And now wait for it. Here's the best part. Verse 16. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ. Okay, clap. The faith that she heard of this God of the Israelites produced something in her spirit that caused her to pivot and take action that not only saved the people around her, it saved her entire generation. I'm a crier, I told y'all. And I really hope that we can capture this moment today, because we need this, because our generations need this, right? Her entire generation was redeemed because of one action that she took. Rahab the prostitute, not only her life, 14 generations, 30-something. So Rahab was the grand to the 31st power, mother of Jesus Christ. Her entire bloodline was redeemed. And that leads me back to our second point. See God in others. This is not about you. This is not about you. See, our God is so grand. Our God is so big that he doesn't function just in the now. He functions in the tomorrow, in the 20 years from now, in the 30 years from now. And so when you hear of this God and something ignites in you and you make a decision to pivot your life, friends, you're saving generations. Can we all just, you're saving generations. You're redeeming an entire bloodline. I don't know where you came from. I don't know what your story is. I don't know what your parents struggled with. I don't know if you had parents or not. We all come from dysfunctional families. Can we all say? We all come from dysfunctional families. Some of us had daddy, some of us that didn't. But it was dysfunctional in one way or another, right? Okay. And so when we pivot, we redeem everything. Am I saying pivot too much? Philippe is laughing. I tend to repeat things over and over again, guys. When we make this change, not only does it affect us, it affects our entire generation. And so it's not about me. And this is why I was honoring JD and Alini. Because they chose to say, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about what God is doing in my life for the generations. And not only just your blood generation, but the people around you. The people around you. I can tell you guys, I am a byproduct of someone who chose to pivot their life and walk with God. If it was not for my mom's and dad's decision, maybe I would have found God in some other way, probably. But what I am living now, my big brother, my little brother, and I walk in the fear of God. Walk knowing that our lives isn't ours. Walk knowing that we have a hope that we didn't have before. All because my parents chose to say, I need to get to know who this God is. I need to get to know what he has for my life. Because without him, where would we be? And because of that faith that built in them, they took that action, and here we are. So guys, it's not about us. God is a God of constant movement. There is nothing passive about God. Nothing passive about God. He's always calling us to make a shift, to walk in a different direction. Not because he's a dictator and wants us to do all these things. No, because he sees your generation. Because he loves you oh so much that he's able to see, you know, Nayera. Your children's. You know, he loves us so much that he's able to say, Valeria, it's not just about you, it's about your kids and your dog included and everyone else in the line, you know? Like, that is the God that wants to get to know you. Whew, that's my favorite point, guys. It's not about us. It's about our generation. And so I don't know about you, but that ignites something in me. For those days that I'm like, oh, man, this is too hard. This is kind of boring. That ignites something in me to say, no, I know the God that I serve. And I know that this God isn't just working in me. This is not for me. This is for all that I don't see. This is for the people around me. This is for the people that God is using me, little me, for a reason. I really hope you guys, I hope that your spirit captures that one. And lastly, seeing as he's a God of generations, he's a relational God. Right? Can we all say amen? You got quiet again? I'm sweating. He's a relational God. He's a relational God. From the beginning, God's only passion on this earth, God's only priority on this earth is you. Is me, is the person I can't stand. It's the person that I love. It's the person that hurt me. That's God's passion. And so, we've heard of this God. We've taken action for our generations. And there's another step. See God in others. The most freeing statement that I've ever heard in my life, God bless my daddy. I was talking to him one day, and I'm spewing out, right? But so-and-so did this, and so-and-so did that, and I'm feeling this way, and I can't unsee it, and blah, 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 and I'm just going and going and going, and then very calmly he goes, mi principesa, let me tell you something. Because you have the choice. I'm going to switch it up. Because he said, you got the choice. You can either see the humanity in people, or you can see the God in people. Do you guys all know that all of us here, we have a part of who God is in us? Whether you're new here, whether you believe in him or not, there is a breath of God in you. And so I can stand here, and I can look at your humanity, and you can look at my humanity, and Lord knows I make mistakes. Lord knows I get caught up in my head. But I can stand here, and I can say, wow, look at all that potential. Look how beautiful you are. Not because I'm the actions that I'm seeing, but because the God that lives in you. And so I want to invite you guys to capture. This is my second favorite. I want to invite you guys to capture this. God is a God of relationships, right? God is a relational God. Every deposit that you make in a person, whether it's speech, whether it's action, it is a seed that you are sowing for you and your generations. So I choose to see the God in people. And it might not be the easiest way, because it's easier for me to sit here and talk about something I don't like. We're human. We're drawn to negativity, right? Right? Or is it just me? Okay. We're human. We're bound to fail. It is in our nature to always pick the worst. But God steps in and he says, hey, Valeria, check your heart a little bit. Why are you angry? Hey, Valeria, did I not tell you? Love one another above yourself. What's my greatest commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. In Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. And honor one another above yourselves. I've heard of this God. Something in me is building this faith. I'm hearing all these positive stories. I'm hearing all this powerful of God. My life pivots, and included is my generations. And included is my redemption of my generations. And then it's my heart. I'm choosing to see the God in people, because that's what God has called me to do, to see the God in people. And it says, honor one another above yourselves. And so as I'm putting this together, I'm like, this is great and all, but this is my last point. You can't honor and you can't love if it's not what you have for yourself. Right? I can't give you something I don't have. And so you might be here this morning and you're like, this is great. I'm so encouraged. But I'm just going to go home and I'm going to be like, I don't know what just happened. I don't know what to do with all of this. So it starts with you. And I want to make this so clear. Third favorite point. I want to make this so clear. Throughout the history of the Bible, God is known to use nobodies. God is known to redeem nobodies. Throughout the theme of the Bible, God uses people who have stutters. God uses people who were prostitutes. God uses people who never, ever measured up to this almighty being that we constantly think that's distant and distant. No. Because then, what would the power of God be if he used someone that was expected, right? Where is the power of God in that? So I get this today. God used a prostitute. God is an expert at using less than people. I don't know why I'm up here today, but I said yes. But I'm like, God, this is little old me. I'm too awkward for this. God uses unexpected people. And so I'm here this morning, and I can tell you I'm in the midst of greatness. Because there is a purpose for what God brought you here this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you find yourself in life. But you are exactly what God needs. You are exactly what God needs. Everything about you, the way he designed you, was for a purpose. So you are enough. He will use you. Go back to step one. Rehear the stories. Rehear the stories. Rebuild your faith. Take action for your generations, because you are exactly what God needs. God loves doing this. God loves using less than people. God loves using ordinary people, because it shows that much more his glory and his power. Amen. You guys look so good. God is a practical God. And this is my last point before we close. God is a practical God. He didn't ask Rahab to go wash herself for 7 days and seven nights and then hide these guys. No. God used what Rahab already knew to do for his glory. You guys get that? God used what Rahab already knew how to do hide men for his glory. So how much more can God use us and what we already know to do for his glory? Take it out of this weird concept that we have where God is this distant mythical being. And the only way he interacts if there's fire raining from heaven. And the only way he interacts if there's supernatural things happen. And yes, supernatural things do happen. But God is a practical God. So if you find yourself in this weird Michael Scott moment where you're just babbling and babbling and babbling and your spirit is so defeated because you're like, this was fun once. But I'm just here waiting for the next moment. I invite you, pivot. Everyone say it with me. Pivot. God has a purpose for you that you cannot leave this earth holding. Your generations need this. The people around you are waiting. The Word of God says that the creation awaits for the manifestation of God in men. You are exactly what God needs. What God needs. You are exactly what God needs. If you can stand with me today.